How are we doing? Let's start off with a couple announcements here. I just want to welcome you. If this is your first time to The Rock, I just want to say welcome. This is The Rock Church. This is our Sunday morning service. And if you're new here, what we want to do is we want to bless you with a free CD. So for sure, if you're new here today, and I know some of you are, if you fill out the bulletin that was handed to you and turn it in at the storefront or connections, you get a free CD. And it has some music and a message on it. It's just we just want to bless you with that. And the information is just so we can know how to serve you better, how to serve this valley better. Because we trust God's using this church and it's growing, and we have visitors every week, and we're excited about that. And you're welcome. And glean what you can from the message today. So I'm going to click through a few announcements. We've got some good stuff going on here and in Sandy and Salt Lake. So HSLT fundraiser. All right. Yeah, woo! Need some hoops more than that. We have some teenagers going to what is basically a spiritual boot camp, a life-changing spiritual time this summer at the end of July. And I'm going with my teenage daughter. And actually, there's a dozen of us going from the Provo area. And, well, all these things cost money. It costs $200 per person. So we're looking to raise a little money. And this book fundraiser actually is a great way because we get part of the proceeds we can use towards that event that we're going to have this summer. So back in the table after the service, there'll be some people manning the table there, and you can go, and there's really good books, Christian books, and gifts, stuff that you could purchase, and I think it's about 45% of the proceeds go to us, and it's a good value too. So check that out and help support our teens. It's going to be a great summer. So we had the cookie thing or a bake sale and got enough money to pay for our gas, but we're trying to go get a little bit more to help us out. Because we want to help everybody that wants to go. Freedom Festival! That's, woo! It's here. That's this week, man. The Freedom Festival begins on Friday. So this church, this is our time. We really outreach to the community. We're going to have a booth in the festival where we'll be giving away balloons and just talking to people and answering questions about our church and sharing our faith. But this Tuesday, kind of the logistics of that and the prayer preparation is this Tuesday at 7 o'clock. So if you want to be a part of that, I encourage you at least to come to the prayer time. At the very least, come. We need to be praying. We need to be asking God His mercy for this valley. Oh, my goodness. We need to approach the throne of grace together, be praying, asking God to help us. And we'll just logistically lay out kind of what's going on. It starts with this Friday, we won't be having a church service, but we'll be having a concert outside. We have a new portable stage that we'll set up outside. So four bands are going to be playing Friday night and three bands on Saturday because the fireworks are after the concert on Saturday. So that kind of kicks it off. We have concerts here Friday and Saturday night. And you can be involved in promoting that and setting up for that and to helping with the booth. Again, after this service, there'll be a table in the back there where you can sign up a slot when you're available. Because we'll have stuff going on the 2nd and the 3rd and the 5th of July. Because the 4th lands on a Sunday here in Utah, not much is going on. So on Monday, the festival continues with the grand parade and 250,000 people descending on Provo, Utah. And actually, our Provo band is going to be playing at the Tabernacle stage. Yeah, that's God's hand of favor, without a doubt. So the parade's at 9 a.m. and at 10 a.m. our band plays. So I want to encourage all of you, if possible, come to that concert, especially on Monday when our band is playing on the Tabernacle stage right over here, singing to Jesus. We need the saints there, you and I, to be there and sing with them and really draw attention to what God's doing in the Rock Church. So make sure and put that on your calendar. Come on Monday, 10 a.m. What time's are they playing? Everybody's distracted. Everybody's looking over here. Back up here. There you go. Yes, at 10 a.m., the Provo Rock Band will be playing at the Tabernacle stage. So be there. Tell your friends. Tell everybody in Sandy. Tell everybody in Salt Lake to be there, 10 a.m. Monday. I'm sounding the call. Monday, 10 a.m. Oh, yeah, we're going to be there. We're going to bring everybody. We're going to tell everybody. That's better. Get some energy going there. Yeah, I want to go now. All right. Run for the Rock. This is also a fundraising event. in our Sandy church, we've got blessed. We did a fundraiser. We bought some property, and now we're trying to figure out creative ways to build a building on that property. And Run for the Rock, Saturday, July 10th, is part of that. All the proceeds will go to that, the building fund. And really what this is, again, it's the saints and your friends and are welcome without a doubt to come, your friends and family, and bring your stroller, bring your family. You can walk it, you can crawl it, you know, maybe I'll wheelchair it, I don't know, but you can go and be a part of that, or you can run of it. I hear some people do run, so that would be good. It's a bunch of people in Sandy, and that's, but it's, the point is, it's for a good cause, and it's to be together. It's for the saints to be together. So sign up for that. You can sign up online. That's Saturday, July 10th. All right, UVU, we got a little refuge on campus going on. That's every Tuesday and Thursday night. This Tuesday, they'll join us for the prayer and prepare time. But this is a new ministry here at The Rock that's really getting some traction. Is there anybody in here going? Okay, yeah, that's what I thought. That's kind of the way it is every Tuesday and Thursday night. So you don't want to be you don't want to miss that. If you're college age, 18 or above, please participate in that. Go check it out. There's some special things going on, and it's all about Jesus, okay? It's all about Jesus and loving each other and loving the community and getting a foothold in that campus. We're praying and asking God to help us do that. So that's Tuesdays and Thursdays. Rock recovery happens, yeah. That happens every Sunday right here at 1 o'clock, typically out in the lobby. We have a recovery group. If you struggle with drug addictions or alcohol addictions, or if you know someone who's struggled with that, there's a group of people here that have found freedom in Christ. And they're sharing it, and they're helping others come to that same freedom. So God's in that. And keep praying for that and participate if you feel that's where you're at. So Rock Recovery on Sundays. That's today. Baptisms are the third Sunday of the month. And last week we were at the camp out and had some baptisms, didn't we? Right here from our own Provo. Yeah. That's just a beautiful picture of what God's doing. We love baptisms here because why? The picture of what Jesus is doing for us and just proclaiming to the world, I love Jesus. And it's happening. God's at work in His church and in all of our churches and baptisms. If you're at a place where you think, well, maybe why don't I get baptized? That's a good question. You ought to come and talk to me or one of the leaders about that, and we'll help set you up on that. Life groups, this is a way. These are family home groups where our church really gets a backbone. We really get community in these life groups. So if you're not in a life group and you're kind of starting to consider this church, that's the next step. We really want to help people take that next step to be involved in what God's doing in this church. And it's definitely in the life groups. So talk to me, and I'll help you get set up on that as well. Tithe and offering box, just a little, looks like a mailbox back by the black doors back there. And that's how we give to the Lord. All right. With that, we're going to go ahead and dismiss the kids. So the kids can go ahead and go to their classes now. There's Sunday school that the kids go to, that teachers have prepared for. And in the meantime, while we're dismissing them, why don't the rest of us go ahead and pray and ask God to help us out here. So, Father God, we just pray and ask You to help these teachers with these precious kids that You've given us, God. We don't just want to babysit them. We want to tell them about You. So we pray You come in power and help the teachers, even logistically, with these kids to help them know You and see You and hear about You and hear Your name. And for the rest of us, God, I pray You teach us, Lord, even this morning. There's a special reason, I believe it, that You brought us together this morning. So, Father God, I pray You would just help us. There's so many distractions in this world, even this teaching this morning, God. It's kind of about being distracted. We want our eyes on You, Lord. So would You come this morning in power and just kind of teach us, God. Settle us down, get a hold of our hearts and our minds. And I pray You do that in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. All right, so this morning we're going to continue on. This is our real life series in the pastoral epistles. And this morning's title is Instructions. So this is actually part six. This is the sixth time we've taught on this series. And today we're going to talk about 1 Timothy chapter 4. Remember, this is The pastoral epistles or pastoral letters are the books of 1 Timothy, 2 Timothy, and Titus. And Paul, the Apostle Paul, wrote these letters to his young leaders. So he's given instructions. He wants to pass on what he's learned over the years. And it's God's church, God's people that are so precious and near and dear to him. As Paul is handing this off to his young disciple, the next leader, the next generation, this is just a precious message. That this is what I've lived for, I've strived for. This is what God has taught me. And he wants Timothy and the other young leaders and us to get it. He wants us to understand how important these different things are. And this morning, we'll just continue on with some instructions. I just want to step back for a minute. Honey, could you get me a tissue, please? That's kind of awkward, huh? So I want to just step back. You remember a couple weeks ago, because last weekend, where were we? We're up on the mountaintop having church. Remember the view last week? Were any of you there? Oh, man. We went on camp out of campouts with the backdrop of incredible mountain view last week. But 2 weeks ago, we were continuing on, and I talked about how we raise up pastors, how we raise up deacons in the church here. And the very last point I made, I'm sure you all remember this, you probably still have your notes tucked in your pocket or something, but the very last point I made, the third point, was God's household, God's church, and the mystery of godliness. And I apologize for this right here, but Jefferson made me cry. Just got to do, you know what I mean? All right. Don't be embarrassed for me. That's just... Okay. All right. So, like, again, we talk. Let's look at, read these verses. 1 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16. This is kind of the last point we made when we're talking about raising up pastors and deacons. Beyond all question... In 1 Timothy chapter 3, the mystery of godliness is great. He appeared in a body, was vindicated by the Spirit, was seen by angels, was preached among the nations, was believed on in the world, was taken up in glory. Again, beyond all question, Paul says, the mystery of godliness is great. This godliness. And then he goes to go on to describe our Savior. And he says, the mystery of godliness is great. Us as humans, we have a hard time getting a hold of it. What do you mean, godliness? How could we be like Christ? Oh, my goodness, look at it. He appeared in the body, was vindicated by the Spirit, was seen by angels, was preached among the nations and believed on in the world, was taken up in glory. So I share that that steps right into chapter 4. Remember, this is a letter. Paul didn't stop and say, okay, chapter 3, now chapter 4. No, he's just writing a letter. He's going on. And now we step right into chapter 4. And the next verses that Paul has to share. And again, still this godliness is on his mind. He wants to talk about how you and I maybe can grasp a little more, maybe be challenged, maybe be convicted to be more godly. And he gives us some instructions. And he starts off with these first verses in chapter 4. So read with me. There's a handout if you'd like. Feel free to fill in the blanks if you want. If you don't want to do that, fine. Just take a note. But the verses will be on the screens, and if you have a Bible, you're certainly welcome to follow along. We're going to dig right into God's Word. The Spirit clearly says that in later times, some will abandon the faith and follow deceiving spirits and things taught by demons. Such teachings will come through hypocritical liars whose consciences have been seared as with a hot iron. They forbid people to marry and order them to abstain from certain foods, which God created to be received with thanksgiving by those who believe and who know the truth. And who know the truth. For everything God created is good, and nothing is to be rejected if it is received with thanksgiving, because it is consecrated by the word of God and prayer. Apostasy is what he's describing here. You might say, what is apostasy? That's a good question. That's what Paul is describing here. Apostasy is the falling away. Some of them may have come to the faith or believed and was running hard for Jesus, and then boom, fall away. fall away. Or maybe just creeped in. They slowly just got further and further and further and further, further out of fellowship, and then they're not even there anymore. They're falling away. It happens lots of ways. Some's a bing, bang, crash! I'm sinning, I'm out of here! Some people are just, you know, yeah. And there's different ways of falling away, but Paul actually describes, let's look at this a little more closely. The Spirit clearly says that in later times, some will abandon the faith. It clearly says some will abandon the faith and follow deceiving spirits and things taught by demons. Such teachings come through hypocritical liars whose consciences have been seared as with a hot iron. They forbid people to marry and order them to abstain from certain foods. So apostasy is the falling away, if you will. And it happened in later times. Later times, the first coming of Christ. So it happened in Paul's time. And it happens in our time. People fall away. And this directive from Paul to Timothy, his young leader, is, oh, people are going to fall away. But there's a better way. That doesn't have to happen. And he goes on to describe how to avoid falling away. So he picks up verse 3b. Remember, he talked about in 3a, he talked about telling people not to marry and what foods to eat and how to do this and how to do that and all these rules and regulations. He says, which God created to be received with thanksgiving by those who believe and who know the truth. You know, at the time, there were certain foods that they were just telling you, don't eat this, don't do that, don't do this, don't be married, don't do that. And he says, well, wait a minute, God created to be received with thanksgiving by those who believe and who know the truth. That's a grace, that's a freedom that we have in Christ to approach these things. For everything God created is good, everything is good, and nothing is to be rejected. If it is received with what? With thanksgiving. Who's it from? It's God with thanksgiving because it is consecrated by the Word of God and prayer. See, there's a little lens there that God gives us. Everything God created is good. We need to thank Him for it and realize it is consecrated or dedicated by the Word of God and prayer. Paul basically is saying we need to look at everything through the lens of Scripture and prayer. Now, what I like to call the God lens or the God filter, that we're to look at everything through that lens. We live in a world that's just full of information, don't we? There's the computers, there's the internet, there's Hollywood, there's movies, there's phones, there's applications. You know, my son, he I don't know how many apps he got, but he must have a bunch. And it's just, because there's a bunch always staring at that thing. Come on, man, look up. Let's have a conversation. Let's talk about Jesus. Let's talk about something that matters here. Let's look at things through the God lens, not through the Hollywood lens, not through the world's lens. There's something better. Because God created this whole thing. He has a good plan for us. He created it. It's good. He wants the best for you. He wants the best for me. He doesn't want what the world has to offer. He wants us to have the best. God knows. But there's this lens that we need to learn to look at. Don't be quick to believe everything you read or hear. The best way to learn what is true is not by looking what is as false, not by looking at the false stuff, but what's true. When people are trying to figure out if money's counterfeit or not, what do they look at? They look at the real thing. They don't study the counterfeit to try to figure out what's wrong. They study the real thing and see how the others come up short. It's not real. It doesn't have this. And I have a picture of George on there. That's not real money. There's your truth. There's our truth. It's not hidden from us. So all the things that are coming away, and oh my goodness, we're in the information age more than ever before in history. All the things coming at us, we need still look at through the lens of Christ, God's Word. everything I say, any of these super preachers, everybody says, oh, you know, Mark Driscoll, all these guys are so good. Yes, they're good and they're men of God and God's help. But you still got to look at it through the lens. What I say today, man, you gotta have your own conviction. You got to look at it. I could say something wrong. I do all the time. I just ask my wife. Do you have a relationship with God or not? You and I, we can look in God's Word. Oh, what freedom we have to look at God's Word ourselves. You don't have to depend on a priest or someone else to give you the Word. Certainly, as you'll see a little bit further here, you know, God has given me a responsibility to teach the Word. But you personally can go to His Word yourself and you can have a relationship with Him and you can grow and you can understand. You can develop your own convictions, your own God's lens. And men and women, we need to do that. I'm just making several points here. The first point is just this apostasy and how to avoid falling away. Let's move on to what is truth. Truth. Point two. Truth. Let's look at verses 6-8 in chapter 4. If you point these things out to the brothers, you will be a good minister of Christ Jesus, brought up in the truths of the faith and of the good teaching that you have followed. Have nothing to do with godlessness and old wives' tales. Rather, train yourselves to be godly, for physical training is of some value, but godliness has value for all things, holding promise for both the present life and a life to come. There's a promise here, both the present life and a life to come. You know, I want to be a good minister. Let's look at these things. Be a good minister of Christ. Look a little closer. Turn from lies and embrace truth. If you point these things out to the brothers, you'll be a good minister of Christ Jesus, brought up in the truths of the faith and of the good teaching of what you have followed. Bring up these truths. Talk to people about it. Church is not just a hangout click. It's a lifestyle. It's world changing. If we really get it, it's going to change the world. God's going to use us. Have nothing to do with godless myths and old wives' tales. Rather, train yourselves to be godly. Turn from lies and embrace the truth. God gave me just a really good analogy this week. And sometimes these, when God teaches you, boy, it's hard. It is. Sometimes it's just hard. And this week, God gave me a good analogy. A week ago, Monday, I went to a pastor's conference. And some of you know, I had colon surgery. I had some of my colon removed, and now the new me is a little bit different. I got to be a little more careful with the new machine here. And a week ago, last Monday, you know, all our lives, let me just step back a minute. People tell us, you know, the secret to good health is eating right and exercise. Oh, yeah, everybody says that. I've said that since I was a little kindergartner. Eat right and exercise, and you'll feel good, look good, run good. You know, we've all heard that. Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. My next diet, I'm going to eat right and exercise. but we think of that. So my doctors have been telling me, you need to eat right and exercise. I'm like, yeah, I just missed it somehow. I don't know, but I really have to watch this. And my wife told me, you shouldn't eat that. I'm like, you know, so I stopped the chemo. Praise God. God is healing me. No more chemo. Start feeling better. Yeah. Praise Jesus. Thank you for your prayers. God works. God's working, answering the saints' prayers. And a week ago Monday, I went to a conference in Omaha with the pastors of our movement. I love being with the pastors and their wives this particular time. And they had conference food, you know. And so you just eat whatever they put out, a big banquet, you know, and usually you overeat because nobody eats like that. And it's all right there. You just take, oh, I don't usually get that. Oh, is that spaghetti? You know, and so conference food. And then we went out. What a blessing to be with the four pastors of The Rock, Utah. And we had our wives with us, just special time. One night we went out and went to Old Chicago to have dinner together. And, of course, I ordered stromboli. And if you don't know what that is, it's like gooey pizzas with all kinds of stuff rolled up. And I hate that. And these days I wear diapers. That's one thing. That's a whole other thing. But I thought I could eat, you know, pretty much whatever I want after this chemo. I feel so much better. Woo, there's a new whole world out here. I'm alive. So I want to eat everything. And so conference room comes. And I got home on Thursday night. We got home. And the next day, camp out. Yeah, man, load up the tent and everything, get everything, go to camp out. Wife has been planning breakfast burritos, and we have all this food. First night we get there, bratwurst. Of course we're going to have bratwurst. We're camping out, man. So I eat a bratwurst, and oh, I'm going to have another one. A bratwurst is like one of the favorite things I like, you know. So I had another one, and then the next night it was potluck, and everybody brought everything to this potluck, you know. And they announced it first. Hey, there's 500 of us. I don't think there's going to be enough food. And there was food left over. There was so many things. And so I ate what I wanted, as I wanted it. And I started to get a tummy ache. Imagine that. And so I went home and kind of survived that thing. And then on Tuesday night, I'm having a date night with my youngest daughter. And we're in Sandy, kind of by our old house where we used to live. We're up at the park. And we swing through Burger King. And I got a Whopper and fries. And we both got, I guess we got the shakes afterwards. But, you know, when we got the shakes, she couldn't eat all of her shake. So I ate her shake. So I had her shake. And then about 4 a.m. Wednesday morning, I woke up. And I was wondering if there was a drive-by shooting at my house, because I just had this pain. I thought somebody must have shot through the house and got me. And when we sang how he loves you, at moments in your life, you realize how much God loves you. And sometimes it's in suffering and pain. And you know, I was balled up on the floor for 2 hours. I held off waking up my wife. I wanted to wake up and moan to her so bad. But I waited until 6 o'clock. I woke her up. And so 5.5 hours curled up in a ball. I finally come, ding, it's not going to go away. 5.5 hours. And I was a wreck. I was about to pass out. My wife kind of shuffled me into the car, took me to the emergency room, went in the emergency room, and I must have looked pretty rough because they just shuffled me right in. And I was about to pass out. I was a wreck. And they shuffled me in there. Oh, you know, and when you're a survivor, a cancer patient, they just really pay attention to you. It's just like, oh, you had that? Oh, you know, and the worst things go through your mind. You think, oh, no, Gomer's back, I got a tumor, and somebody shot through the wall of my house and I didn't realize it, or my appendix burst, or my backbone, I came out in the toilet or something, I don't know what's going on here. And then came into the, and the doctor was actually, and a guy had been there for 40 years, the ER room doctor, just seemed like a great guy, but he had been a cancer survivor twice, and he was quick to administer what I needed for the pain to go away. And it's like, oh, I just want to kiss you. And so he did. And then, and long story short, they had me drink some stuff, CT scan, all this. Call my surgeon. What should we do? Well, I think you should have him go into the hospital. And I said, you know, and he said, you know, we're not going to police you. You can do what you want. So we went home under his good instructions. So we went home, and I was feeling pretty good. I got one last little dose before I left there. And had pain meds, and for about 24 hours later, Mount St. Helens came down at our house. And I've been struggling ever since. It's you got to eat right and exercise, you know, and spiritually. I use that analogy just to say, you got this spiritual good health is what you and I need more than anything. What are you taking in? Are you gobbling up God's word, or what? Is it Hollywood still in your mind? Are you praying? I mean, honestly, are you praying? Are you praying to God? Did you pray yet today? I mean, ever since we were kindergarten, someone's been telling me, you eat right and exercise, and you'll feel good. And I don't usually do that. And it can be the same thing spiritually. You know, it's kind of like a garbage disposal, what we bring in. And like a garbage disposal, all this stuff's coming in, and we need our God filter. We need our God. We need this little garbage disposal that throws things out, you know. if it doesn't belong in there, it's like an old spoon in a garbage disposal. Clang, clang, or a seed or something. You reach down in there, yeah, it's kind of gross, but get it out of there. Get it out of there. Get it out. Get your hand in there and get it out of there. It's going to break if you don't. And I've just seen it time and time again. I have. In my own life and other people. People come into this church broken. We're like kind of like a mash unit. And a lot of times it's stuff that people have been getting fed all their lives. That's not true. And people are confused. They have all this tangled up, all this information that's really hard for them to see the truth. Now, of course, God's bigger than that. And He comes in, He swoops in, He rescues people, He helps them, He puts His Spirit in us, and He teaches us, and He sets us apart, He sanctifies us and teaches us. But there's also choices that you and I have every single day. We need the truth. We need the truth. We need to be careful what we let come in. We need to make good decisions. We can do that together as a family of believers. We can make good decisions together. We can create a family of people that are running hard for Christ, where the rest of the world would say, look at those guys. They're just different. Yeah, because God's got a hold of our hearts. And we're not going to throw any seeds or spoons into our God filter. And you know what? There's just so much stuff out there. Paul's saying what? He's saying, have nothing to do with godless myths or old wives' tales. Have nothing to do with that. Things like horoscopes, tarot cards, palm reading need to stay out. And on and on and on and on. It's just junk. They're godless myths. And I'm going to take a step further. And I think this is right now what I'm talking about is what's been part of my spiritual battle all week. Is that there are books that are added to the Bible. There are religions all over the world that give us different books beyond the Bible. I wanted to have a visual and put one of our garbage cans here. All right? The horoscopes. The extra books. God's Word stands alone. God's Word stands alone. And even commentaries, brothers and sisters, you have to remember when you read those, yes, there are good godly men that wrote those, but again, you got to look through the lens of Scripture, your own personal relationship with God, your own personal convictions. Don't just listen to this other person and say, oh yeah, I'll do that because he does that. Well, it's good to follow examples, and I'm going to get to that. But you got to have your own filter. You got to have your own filter, your lens that you're looking through, that your own personal relationship with God. And be careful what you tell other people too. My goodness. Let's get right to that. Train yourselves to be godly. Kind of getting ahead of myself a little bit. But it's such good stuff. Have nothing to do with godless myths and old wives' tales. Rather, train yourself to be godly. For physical training is of some value, but godliness has value for all things, holding promise for both the present life and life to come. Don't miss that promise. Promise for your marriage. Promise for your coworkers. Promise for your friends. Promise for your family. Promise for your kids. Your kids need this. Your family needs this. You need this. Everything needs to flow out of that. More than even physically eating right. Spiritually eating right. Are you hearing me? Are you get it? Please get it. People are so caught up in diets and exercise. What about being spiritually fit? It just supersedes all of that. It's way beyond that. Memorize verses. Live it. Live it. Live it. So that it may go well for you. There's a promise here. And God is just pounding me on this. Me personally, I need more. My job is to be in God's Word. And I am a bunch, but boy, I need more. Why? Because I want to be more like Him. I want to think like Him. I want to pray to Him just constantly. Why? So I be more godly. So I be for my wife, for goodness sake. If I don't, she's going to have to put up with some lunkhead. For your husband, for goodness sake. For your kids. God wants the best for us. Why? Because there's a hope in this. The third point I want to make is the hope that we have. Let's look. Whoops. getting all excited here. This is a trustworthy saying, Paul says, chapter 4, that deserves full acceptance. And this, for this we labor and strive, that we put our hope in the living God, who is the Savior of all men, especially for those who believe. For this we labor and strive, that we put our hope in God. For this, that's why we get up. For this we labor and strive. Our hope, our hope, our hope. What's your hope? What are you putting your hope in today? What am I putting my hope in? What's your hope? What's my hope? I like this quote by George Herbert. He that lives in hope dances without music. You need to see these people that are really fired up for Christ. They do. They dance without music. You can just see, oh man, that. Sometimes I meet people, I say, you're a Christian, aren't you? I can just kind of tell by your countenance. And Christians, our countenance is just as telling when it's sour. Right there, it's like, oh, boy, you haven't been in the Word prayer lately, have you? Maybe you ought to go to the prayer closet. And you got to be careful how you tell that to your spouse. Honey, I think you ought to go pray right now. Maybe I ought. This hope. What are you putting your hope in? What am I putting my hope in? It's just a few verses just to kind of wet tongue a little bit. This Bible is full. It's hope. Guide me in your truth and teach me, for you are God, my Savior. And my hope is in you all day long. Can you say that? My hope is in you all day long. Or am I going to turn? My hope's not in you now. My hope's in someone else. My integrity and uprightness. Protect me. Protect me. Integrity and uprightness. Where am I going to get that? Because my hope is in you. Where's my integrity going to come from? Where's my uprightness? My uprightness, I don't have any. You don't have any. In Christ is where our righteousness comes. By the blood of Christ. Psalm 31:24. Be strong and take heart, all you hope in the Lord. No matter what you're up against, be strong and take heart. Be strong and take heart, all you who hope in the Lord. All you. Psalm 31:18. But the eyes of the Lord are on those who fear Him. On those whose hope is in His unfailing love. I want God's eyes on me. Oh, don't you? God, watch out for me. Watch, 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 watch. I hope in you. My hope's in you. I'm looking to you. I'm looking to you. I'm looking. I'm not going to trust in this. I'm looking to you. Yeah, I'm scared. I don't know what's going to happen. I don't know who to trust. But I'm looking to you. I hope. I need you. I need you. You're the one that's going to get me through this. You're the one that's going to help me with my bills. You're the one that's going to show me what to do. You're going to get me the job. You're going to do this. It's you, God. And my eyes are on you. You'll give me a place to live. You'll do this. You'll provide. You are God. We wait and hope for the Lord. He is our help and our shield. That's where your help is. That's where your shield is. Always trying to rescue people. Dive in and, oh, let me fix that for you. Instead of saying, you look to God. You turn to God. You know God. You have a relationship with God. You turn to God. I'm not going to help you up this time. You just got to stay there. Son, it's going to be hard. It's hard for me to watch that. God is the hope. He's the one that will help. Why are you downcast? Certainly we all go through this. Why are you downcast, oh my soul? Why so disturbed within me? Put your hope in God, for I will yet praise Him, my God, my Savior. God, we don't understand a lot of stuff on this planet that goes on in our lives. Put your trust in God. But God does. He knows. He's in charge. He's our God. He's our hope. I like what Charles Spurgeon wrote, without Christ, there is no hope. What are we putting our hope in? In America's economy? Not lately. Europe's? The world's economy? No, no, no. You know what? Find it in that stuff. It's empty. Whoosh. In God's economy. In my God, in my Savior, in my King, in the one who died on the cross for me, where my salvation is, where I'll be in heaven. Christ is the Messiah. He did come. It's all true. He died on the cross. He paid for my sins. He forgives me of my sins. He rose from the dead. And my hope is when I step off this planet, I'll be with Him. Do you believe it or not? That's our faith today. That's what we're doing. And we're called to teach this. Paul continues on. last verses here. Command and teach these things. Don't let anyone look down on you because you are young, but set an example for the believers in speech, in life, in love, in faith, and in purity. Until I come, devote yourself to the public reading of Scripture, to preaching and to teaching. Do not neglect your gift, which was given you through a prophetic message when the body of elders laid their hands on you. Be diligent in these matters. Give yourself wholly to them so that everyone may see your progress. Watch your life and doctrine closely. Persevere in them. Because if you do, you will save both yourself and your hearers. Another promise. Bing. You'll save both yourself and your hearers. So good. Set an example for the believers. Set an example for the believers. Look a little closer here. Command and teach these things. This is for us, church. Command and teach these things. Don't let anyone look down on you because you are young, but set an example for the believers in speech, in life, in love, in faith, in purity. This is one of my favorite verses to say, share with our youth group, especially the first day when our first timers are there, youth group. Little 12-year-olds looking around like, what now? Say, who's the youngest in here today? Who's the youngest one in here today? I have a verse for you today. 1 Timothy 4:12. Don't let anyone look down on you because you are young, but set an example for the believers in speech, in love, in faith, and in purity. That's all of us. Set an example. We need to be setting an example. When Paul wrote this to Timothy, Timothy was probably in his 30s. And in the day, a man in his 30s leading groups of people was kind of unheard of. It's usually the old guys with gray hair that would lead. But here, apparently, Timothy was probably a little intimidated because he was younger than all the rest teaching these truths. So Paul felt it important to encourage him with this. Don't let anyone look down on you because you're young, but set an example for the believers. You know, that just so many places that can fit into our life. Our church is pretty young. In Utah County, we can be intimidated at times. You know, at times, honestly, when it's empty before people come in, I think, oh, is anybody going to come today? Don't let anyone. We need to be teaching God's word. God will do it. God will build his church here on earth. He is doing it. And we need to be examples, you and I. People are looking at us. If you're a parent, oh, you've got to get this. You've got to hold your mouth. You live a life of integrity. There are eyes watching you in your home. And for goodness sakes, in the body of believers, we need to be good examples for each other. Learn how to hold our tongue when we're talking to each other, what we're saying behind people's backs. We need to be good examples in Christ, in Christ, in Christ. It's not that none of us are so special or such a good example, but there's got to be some teeth, some accountability. We've got to be a good example. Don't let anyone look down on you because you are young. Set an example in speech. Don't take God's name in vain. Just don't do it. How are you talking anyway? Set an example in speech. What are you saying? Are you slamming your wife? Are you slamming your husband? Are you slamming this person because they're a little bit different than the rest of the group? Are you calling them names? Or at work, do you get right into the joke or do you say, you know what? I'm not interested in that. No. In speech, in life, be an example. Be an example. Be an example. God help us in this. We need to be an example. In faith. Do I believe it or not? Do I talk about it at home? Not enough. Do I pray with my family? Or when I'm by myself, what do I do? When I'm by myself, what do I do? I've got all this time. No, you don't. Time is going away. We don't have all this time. We don't have all this time. This is urgent news. World needs to know. We don't have all this time. We don't. God's taught me lately to count the number of my days. All of us, that's Moses' prayer. God, establish the work of my hands. Help me to count the number of my days. I read in the Psalms the other day. Life's just like a fleeting shadow. It's but a breath. Don't make it a bad breath. We got to live this out. Be an example, you and I, to the world. example, I like this quote, is the school of mankind, and they will learn it no other. We need to be good examples. Christians, call ourselves Christians. What's it look like in my home? I'm convicted. I'm not perfect. I make mistakes. But I want to be a better example. I want to be a better example to people that live in my home, to my family, to my wife. Oh, my goodness. I could sure grow in that area. We need to be good examples. Be devoted. Continue to teach. Until I come, devote yourselves to the public reading of Scripture, to preaching and to teaching. Do not neglect your gift, which was given you through prophetic message when the body of elders laid their hands on you. Let's talk about the Word. Let's share it with people. Share verses. We'll continue, God willing, from this stage, from these microphones. Next Friday night at the Freedom Festival, we'll talk about God's Word. We'll read it publicly. Certainly, you ought to be doing this in your homes. You ought to be doing it for yourself. Do not like the gift he's talking about, as different pastors are raised up throughout, ever since this was written, people raised up and hands were laid on. When I became a pastor, hands were laid on me and by the elders in the church. I don't know what happened. I don't necessarily know, no lightning or anything, but there's a promise here that says that something happened. God gifted me with something. And now I'm trying to use that. And each one of you, God wants to use you. Teach. Be devoted. Be devoted to Christ. So when you do talk, you're like a sponge and it overflows with the Word of God. And it's good advice instead of worldly advice. Worldly advice, you can get that anywhere. All right, persevere. Getting to the end here. Last two verses. Be diligent in these matters. Give yourself wholly to them so that everyone may see your progress. Can you see your own progress? Can anyone see our progress? Well, I think if you're diligent, we probably will. I do see progress in this church and in people's lives. It's a glory to Jesus. It's so good. Watch your life and doctrine closely. Persevere in them. Because if you do, you'll save both yourself and the hearers. And it's a pretty simple message. Give yourselves wholly to this kingdom-building business. And live your lives out loud. Because if you do, now please hear this, because there's another promise. You'll save both yourselves and your hearers. God saves soul. That's where salvation is. But as we make the next right decision, the next right thought, the next thing to ponder, the next right choice. What I'm looking at, what I'm hearing. I got my God filter, my God lens. To be godly, you got to sort some stuff out of the way because God gives us free will to choose. What am I choosing? What am I choosing to think about? What am I choosing to eat? What am I choosing to look at? What am I... On and on and on. Have our God filter out. Be in tune. Be in tune and persevere day in, day out, day in, day out, day in, day out, day in, day out. 10 years from now out, 20, today, this moment, next time, persevere, persevere, persevere. Turn to Christ, turn to Christ, turn to Christ, turn to Christ. No matter what happens, He is the answer. He is our hope. He will help you. And this godliness, this mystery of godliness, the more you know Him, the more you want to be like Him. The more you want to know Him, the more you want, the more. Turn to Him. And then before long, you can look back and say, oh my goodness, I'm different than I was then. Hallelujah. There's a work going on. Next week, we'll be having a concert out here Friday and Saturday. We'll have an opportunity to preach from microphones because our bands will be playing. But I just want to call on the saints. Let's share the love of Christ with the crowd. Just talk to people. So what do you think of what he just said? What do you think of this song? Many of the songs are just flat scripture. and the body of Christ, this is our opportunity to respond. We don't want to create just a bunch of event Christians that just talk about Jesus when there's an event. Hopefully it's a lifestyle. But this is an opportunity for our church to be involved. And it's good for us. It is. It's good for us to talk about our Savior. Because you know what? There's power released in that. And you want that in your life. I know I do. Every time I see someone turn from death to life, there's power released and something changes in me. as I witness that and see a life changed and a person grow up in the faith. It's so beautiful. It's a lifestyle. And if you feel like you're missing that, you probably are. But it's so good. It's so good. It's worth living for. I'll leave you with a quote from John Wesley that I like. Bear up the hands that hang down by faith and prayer. Support the tottering knees. Have you any days of fasting and prayer? Storm the throne of grace and persevere therein, and mercy will come down. For this valley, it's going to take God's mercy in a huge, tremendous dose. I mean, it did for us, each one of us. It takes God's mercy. Mercy. It's so amazing that God would have mercy on us, on me, on this valley. I really think a lot of people are looking at a different thing than Christ. And it's going to take His mercy, by His mercy and grace, to help them. And I believe that's what He wants to do, and He is doing it, and we're seeing it, and we're a part of it. Such a good thing. So I'll just pray and end tonight, and then we'll sing a couple more songs together, or this morning. God, thank You for today. Lord, thank You for Your mercy and Your grace, how You did rescue us, how You care so intimately for each and every one of us and what we think about and what we do and what we say. You care about our lives. You're with us. You want the best for us. You want Your best for us, God. Help us, Lord, to be more godly by Your Spirit that lives inside us. You promised that You would help us. You would sanctify us. You set us apart. You're changing us to be more like You. Once we know You and Your Spirit's deposited in us, God, and we're different. Help us to look different, to act different, to be different. Help us not just to give lip service to our faith, God. Help us to shut up sometimes and do what You tell us to do, God, to put our faith in action. Jesus, we love You. We need You by Your Holy Spirit power. Move in us today, God, today. May we look different. May we be Your hands and feet on this planet today, in our worlds today, God. We love You and thank You for this morning. In Jesus' name, amen. So what a great opportunity to sing to our Savior again. Let's do that together.
Amen. Thank you, Mac.